Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Hey everyone, David Nagel. Welcome to the Successful Mind Podcast. And today the question for all of you is, how bad do you really want success? How bad do you really want the things that you say that you want? And it was interesting. I read an article that was talking about all of the problems with the self-improvement industry. And a lot of the problems that show up in, or there's many articles out there on the issues with the self-improvement industry. But one of the things that shows up a lot is that people make it sound easy to get whatever it is that you want in life, whatever your definition of success is, and the work is actually quite hard. The other thing is that people don't get the results from the, you know, thousands of different kinds of programs and such that are out there. The self-improvement industry is a $13 billion a year industry. It is quite large, and it's growing all the time. And it is something very common that I hear about people not getting the results. So I wanted to talk about that from the perspective of how can you actually get better results, and what is really the problem that keeps a person from getting the results that they want. And I'm also talking about this from my own personal experience, going through my own transformation in the self-help industry before I actually started a business of any kind. So the thing is that I think most people learn in a way where you get information and you think, if I know this information, whatever it is that the information is designed to do is going to then precipitate the change that I want to have in my life. And it's not, there's no consideration for the fact that the information that we're actually taking in is not something that we just need to read or hear or even memorize, like from the, like whatever the language of it is. Like, could you repeat back a paragraph from, you know, Think and Grow Rich or any other self-help book that's out there? Because none of that does anything. All that does is demonstrate that you understand what, not even understand, you remembered what a person said or wrote or spoke into a recording. None of that affects your life. It doesn't affect your life in any way. It's no different than memorizing something from history or math or English or biology or something when you were a kid and you were in school. Unless you're able to take that and apply it to your life, where you can get a measurable outcome, it makes absolutely no difference whatsoever. By reading a self-help book, by going to a seminar, by hiring a coach, by doing any of those things, if you just take in the information, it does nothing. It does absolutely nothing for you. Self-help is very much like learning to play an instrument. So let me explain what I mean. You can look and learn how to read music based on what the notes are, so that you can identify what the notes are on sheet music. You can learn what the notes are on, say, a piano or a guitar. You may even be able to push the key down or pluck a string and make it make a sound. But that does not mean that you can actually take that and make it music, you know, actually make real music come out of it. And the way that you make music come out of it is by the repetition of playing certain notes in certain orders, at certain tones, until your brain and your body literally becomes one in the integration of doing that, and you don't need to think about it anymore. It's just you're able to do it. Like anything else that you've learned how to do, like driving a car, you don't think about driving a car anymore. Going through most of your day, doing the things that you do throughout your day, the actual physical or mechanical aspects of it, you generally don't think about them. You don't think about how do I move my fingers? How do I move my hand? How do I walk from one office to another? How do I get out of bed? How do I brush my teeth? How do I make my breakfast? How do I walk the dog? Like, you don't think about any of those things. You may think about that you need to do them, but when you're actually engaged in the activity, you're not thinking about how do I do this, because it's memorized. It's integrated into your nervous system. It's an automatic response to the way that you show up. That information is stored in the mind, and it's done through constant spaced repetition. You did it over and over and over again until you finally got it to the point where you don't need to think about it. When we're little children, we're not actually replacing a belief system, we're creating one. So all of the ways that we behave and the way that we evaluate the world and we learn how to walk and talk and memorize the different parts of our body and start to memorize objects and learn what they're for and how to use those objects as we go through, you know, the first 7 years of our life, we're basically taking all of that information and putting it into a blank slate, which is our brain, and our brain absorbs that information, and then it becomes automatic for us to be able to then do those things in our life. When people usually get to the point where they want to accomplish something that they haven't accomplished, or they realize that they're stuck in life, or they're in some kind of a dysfunctional pattern that's creating results that they're really not happy with, they go to some source of information for help if they want to change. And they may go to a therapist, they may go to a counselor, they may read self-help books, they may hire a coach, they might go to clergy, they might go, like if they're in business, they might go to business mentors or other experts. There's a whole host of ways that we can get information to find out how to do something that we don't currently know how to do. But the big difference in this is that when we're changing something, excuse me, after we're older, we're actually replacing that information with old pattern behavior or a paradigm of the way that we used to do things in the past. Our subconscious mind wants to hold us to the habit patterns of the way that we did things in the past. So it kind of pushes back on new things that come up in our life or new things that we're trying to learn. And so it's kind of like you have to unlearn how to do old habits and you have to learn how to do new ones. And in the self-help industry, where that begins is in the process of how we think about things. Because that's one of the things that we kind of learn by default as we go along as kids. We learn how to think about life. We learn how to think about relationships. We learn how to think about money. We learn how to think about our health. We learn how to think about work and a job. We learn how to think about being safe. We learn how to think about risk. We learn how to think about love and hate and different people and politics. We're learning how to think about all of these things. So here's like a big question. Where are we learning it from? Who's giving us that information that we're actually taking in that becomes the foundation of our learning so that we can literally think about things without actually thinking about them? Let me explain. So as you go through your life, when you're using your mind to think and analyze and give opinions, maybe you're watching the news or you're watching a program on TV or a movie or you're reading a book or you're reading a newspaper or you're reading something on the internet or you're having a conversation with someone, or you're on the subway and you're overhearing a conversation between two people. All of these different things trigger our mind to think along the lines of how we've been taught to think about whatever topic that we're observing or hearing at the time. And if we don't learn to think outside of the way that we've been taught to think, then we're pretty much subject to the only opinions, the only solutions, the only answers, the only ideas that we know are the ones that we were taught. Now, if I have a problem and I want to make a change in my life, and I don't understand that a major part of the reason that I have the problem that I have is because of the way I think about that problem, or the way I think about that situation or that circumstance, or the way I think about that result, then the only option I have is to think about it the way that I was taught to think about it. Unfortunately, a lot of the viewpoints that we get as children are very much set in stone based on the people that gave us those viewpoints. So we see this in places like with religion. With religion, it's very often taught in a way where a person will say, my religion is right, everybody else's religion is wrong. And not only that, but there's a severe consequence if you don't follow my religion and you start dabbling in someone else's religion. And like in the case of Christianity, the consequence is that you go to hell for all of eternity. Now, I'm not trying to make anybody right or wrong here. What I'm trying to point out is that the way that we learned that was not only that that religion was the right religion, but if you varied from that religion, the consequence was the most severe thing that you could ever possibly imagine in your life. You're going to go to hell for all of eternity and suffer for all of eternity, which is a pretty significant thing. And not only is it significant, but think about how significant that would be when you're teaching this to a small child that doesn't have the ability to critically think or evaluate based on any other information in their life. So that becomes the foundation of how they think. And unless there is a reason for them to start to explore different options in their life, perhaps different religions, different ways of thinking, they stay stuck in that forever. Now, what happens if they start hearing about different religions or different ideas or different ways of living, and they're intrigued by it a little bit, and they want to start to explore that and learn about it, see what it is? They're fighting internally the severe consequence of them betraying their obligation to that religion, and they're fighting the fear inside of themselves that there could be a severe, severe penalty if they actually do so. Well, I've got news for you. This is not just with religion. Very often, we're taught this in many different ways with all different kinds of topics. For instance, we are usually taught by our parents about how life works, how we have to interact with our family, what our obligation and loyalties are to that family, and how we need to show up as children and then eventually adults. And if we start to go against that, it's very common for parents to actually pull back, pull away, disagree, and make a child or a young adult wrong for actually doing so. So the consequence is not only the fact that a parent would be disagreeing, but you also have the emotional pain of the parent not approving of you. And one of the things that kids want all of their life is they want their parents to approve of what it is that they're doing. That helps them exchange the idea of love. That helps them feel safe with the people that are in charge with keeping them safe and healthy until they become adults. And its heart becomes hardwired into our nervous system. And if all of a sudden we're going to start doing things against our parents, if that becomes an issue where we can't get over the idea that our parents are going to disagree with us and in many cases attempt to manipulate us because we want to think or do something different, it's extremely painful for that person. So another place this would show up is when we're going to school. School's basically preparing us for the workforce when we grow up, to be able to go out, go to work, be able to take care of ourselves, and ultimately be safe in the world. Now, very often when you have kids that are going through this, not everybody's personality is going to want to conform to the way that school is actually operating. So this is where you get kids that are in their natural state of rebellion, and they're pushing back. They're pushing back against authority. They're testing the boundaries of that. And then they get pushback from the teachers or the people that are in authority in whatever educational system that they're in around the world. Very often, these people of authority will also extend the results of the child's current behavior throughout their whole life. And they'll be like, you're going to be a loser all your life. You'll never be able to keep a job. You'll be a bum. You won't be anything. You're useless. And it all of it is done in an attempt to correct their behavior and bring them back to the teachers or the educational system's way of thinking to keep them in line so that they in their mind, they can get a productive adult to come out the other end of this thing, because that's the way that they're regulated. That's what it is that they're supposed to be doing. But in each one of these scenarios that I'm presenting to you, what's important to understand about this is the severe consequence of breaking away from the regimented idea that we were given about the way that it is. And I could sit here all day and tell you a myriad of different things. You know, you could go through relationships, you can go through health, you can go through exercise, you could go through politics, you can go through many, many different things where if a person does not conform to the way that a certain group of people are attempting to teach that person, that not only do they make them wrong, but there's these severe, severe consequences if they don't conform. And I'm here to tell you that these severe consequences are absolutely not true. They're completely made up, and even though many of the people that actually teach about those consequences completely believe what it is that they're teaching because they don't know anything else and somebody taught them, but they've never actually critically thought about the cause and effect of doing something different and what the consequence could be, we actually see it all around us. People that have literally broken free from the traditional norms of society and gone out and done their own thing with great results. Matter of fact, most of the things that we have in our life are the result of somebody deciding to break a rule and do something different. If nobody ever broke the rules, there would be no innovation anywhere. So it's really important to understand this based on what I'm about to say next. And that is that when you're ready to step into a part of your life where you want to do something different, you're really going to shake it up. You're facing an internal battle against all of these belief systems that you were given about right and wrong, good and bad, cause and effect, what is the ultimate consequence of what you're doing, the whole idea of what if something actually goes wrong. Yet nobody's ever able to tell you what that would be if it went wrong, not even taking into consideration that human beings have the ability to be extraordinarily resourceful. And so you're facing this. And it's not just a matter of learning something new, taking in new information and saying, hey, I'm going to go apply this to my life and make a major change. One of the things that I help people do is become financially independent based on their ability to bring money into their life and on extreme levels, right? Like millionaires, multimillionaires. So What is really fascinating about that is that if a person says, "Hey, David, I want to be a millionaire. I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to create a business. I want to do something that's going to make a significant difference in the world, in my life, in the lives of other people." Yet they have all of these beliefs from their childhood that have severe consequences that need to be broken in order for them to step out and do something vastly different in their life. They're fighting that battle against those beliefs because those beliefs create an internal dialogue that is constantly telling them they're wrong. What if something goes wrong? What if something happens? What is the consequence of that? Is your life going to be miserable? Is this just a joke? Can you really do it? It plays on your self-esteem because a person basically their self-esteem and their emotional maturity kind of stops at the place where it doesn't get challenged anymore. So if everybody goes to like a certain level in their life, but they don't keep working on it and growing and stretching it, it doesn't get any stronger. And then you end up with a bunch of adults that are extremely insecure. They develop a little life for themselves. They don't know how to navigate their way out of that little life, and that little life just presents security. But it's inside that little life, they're desperate, they're dying, they're not having fun. They're trying to convince themselves that, you know, it's okay, it's not that bad. And in many cases, it's not that bad, but what are you comparing it to, right? Are you comparing it to a homeless person, somebody that lives in a third world country that's stuck and doesn't even know how to get out of their country to a place where they can exercise freedom in their life? What are you comparing it to? Because the truth is that there's always somebody that has it worse and there's always somebody that has it better. None of that really matters. What matters is, what do you actually want to do with your life? What do you really want to do with your life? This comes down to something very important. In order to break free and move out of the mindset of all the different ways that you've been taught to think that keep you really steadfast to the idea of safety and making decisions that keep you safe, you're going to have to determine how bad, like how much desire do you really have to want to make a change? And this is something that really requires some deep, thorough thought. I knew that when I wanted a first change, that I wanted to change really bad. There were a lot of things that I wanted to accomplish. I had absolutely no idea how I was going to do it. A lot of people, I found out really quick that a lot of those people that had the same program thinking that I had when I was a kid, and some of them who were still around me thought my ideas were completely ridiculous. So I stopped sharing those ideas with them pretty quick. But I thought I wanted it bad enough until I started running into problems where I was not moving ahead any further. And at that point in time, I didn't actually think that wanting it bad enough was my problem. That never occurred to me at that point in time. I really felt inside in my heart that I wanted to change and accomplish things really big. But I had gotten in a place where I was stuck. So I went and I asked somebody who happened to be a professional, an expert at what they did, and I asked them to take a look at what I was doing and tell me what they thought my problem was. And instantly, without the batting of an eye, this person said to me, "You don't want it bad enough." And I was shocked. And not only was I shocked, but I was angry at the person for saying that because I thought, you don't even know me. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what's in my heart. How could you actually say that? What I didn't realize at the time was that this person had seen my plight so many times they instantly knew when they saw it what the problem was. Were there technical problems, like things that I could have been better at or things that I wasn't doing? Yeah, absolutely. But it was the thinking behind those technical problems that was actually keeping me stuck. And that was, I didn't want it bad enough. So what does that mean? Does it mean that I didn't want it bad enough? Well, kind of, but it also means something else. What it means is that I didn't want it bad enough to break through the things that really made me uncomfortable. And that's where you come face to face with the demons and the consequences that you were told by your parents and by other people in your life of what will happen if you break the rules. Now, I'm not talking about doing anything unethical or anything illegal or anything of that sort, but just breaking the normal rules of society that supposedly keep you safe for the rest of your life. What all those things do is get you to continue to play the same game all of your life, and you never actually achieve anything of any consequence to begin with. I didn't realize that those things were actually stopping me. I thought I broke through all different kinds of things, and I had, but I had not come up against the biggest dragons, so to speak, that I was yet to face to have to break through that in order to accomplish what I want. So then the question became, do I want this bad enough to face my biggest demons, to face my biggest fears, to face my biggest insecurities? And I had to go back and really look at and evaluate how much does it mean to me to be able to create something on my own, to give myself a chance and an opportunity to become as successful as I want to be versus staying safe where I am, making myself a victim, going into self-pity, and then basically staying in a mundane job for the rest of my career. And I gave it some thought. I didn't have to think about it a very long time, but it occurred to me that I was about to face fears that I didn't even know were there, and I had to make a decision as to whether or not I wanted it bad enough to face those fears, no matter what they were. And I mean that, no matter what they are. Because the truth is that you're not going to know what you have to break through until it shows up. There's a lot in there. I mean, we've been programmed for a long, long time. By the time we're ready to actually, to go after what we want and face our demons. But the truth is that we're not going to know what all of those demons are until we actually have to face them. So you have to want it bad enough, and it's your job to make sure that you keep that desire burning bright and hot in front of you every single day so that it guides you through every obstacle, every challenge, both external and internal, along the way. And always remember this, the bigger the outcome that you want, the bigger the desire that's in your heart that you want to manifest in your life, the bigger the demon you're going to have to slay. As you slay that demon and that dragon, you become stronger, you become more competent in your life, you build a tremendous confidence, it doubles down on your belief system from where you're going, and you're open to changing your thinking wherever it needs to be changed to accomplish whatever you want. Take that and give it some real serious thought. Make it a great day. Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.